This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We wrap up the week a little bit on the lighter side, but give you an opportunity to get to know the host of one of the programs new to our lineup, today's homeowner with Danny Lipford, joined at the beginning of the year. And Danny's joining us from Alabama. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, glad to be with you, Kyle. Looking forward to this.
So tell us a little bit about your background, what led to your being part of the home building, remodeling, et cetera, industry.
Well, I started my construction business when I was 21 years old. That was only 43 short years ago. I'm about to get the hang of it. And even though I'm not involved real directly with my construction company, though I still own it, I've been very involved on a national level with my television show and radio show. My television show now in its 24th season in 90% of the country. And I have been doing my radio show, Today's Homeowner, for the last 13 years. So it's all about practical, realistic home improvement information, and nobody ever gets tired of a good, straightforward approach when you're talking about your home.
So what interested you about carpentry, about building homes, remodeling, things like that?
Oh, man, it's the instant gratification that you get from it. And that's what so many homeowners tell me about is that, you know, I tried that. I really didn't have a lot of confidence, but wow, I just did this ceramic tile in my foyer. Now I'm going to do my great room. And, you know, it's just that type of instant gratification that you get that, you know, a lot of jobs, you maybe don't feel that as much after a day's work, but that's certainly something that hooks you in to the construction business, remodeling business, and certainly things that are, you know, do-it-yourself friendly. And a lot of our audience certainly do a lot of the work themselves, but we also have a large part of our audience that are just going to write checks, but they want to know what's going on, and they want to be involved at least a little bit in the overall process.
So going through getting a company going and all of that, were there particular types of projects you liked to work on the most?
Well, you know, you hate to do things. I personally always hated the tragedies, the kitchen fires. In my area in the southeast, there's, of course, a lot of termite problems, which is pretty much everywhere nowadays. Those are never fun. And so, you know, when you have fires or when you have things like that, that's just not a lot of fun. But when you have someone that's had a dream, they've thought about it, they've saved their money, they've got their little file together of exactly what they want to see in their addition or in their bathroom or kitchen, or particularly outdoor living areas, that's gigantic these days. Then when you see that, when they start seeing it come together, man, that's a great thing to be able to guide that path, whether I'm the contractor or whether I'm the media guy. It's still so much fun to be involved in that and to see all of this come together through their eyes. Again, you never get tired of that.
So how many years had you been in construction before you got into the media side, and what led to that part?
Well, you know, I realized in starting my business, there was a lot of guys out there in the construction business, and I specialized more in the remodeling side of it. I always enjoyed that more than building new houses, even though I built many, many new houses over the years. But it made me realize you have to separate yourself from the pack. It's just basically business 101. So I realized doing as much PR as I could, public relations, and doing articles with the newspaper. I would go and do little speeches for garden clubs or home and garden shows and things like that. And that led to a local television station asking me to host a 30-minute show. And that's where it really took off from the standpoint of just having a knack of being able to explain what can be complicated or confusing aspects of home ownership and just breaking it down and saying, hey, this is just what you need to look at, and leave out all of the sensationalism. We got enough of that in our life, but just good, straightforward information. That's what fueled the interest in me being on television and being on radio. And then I was able to have a local show for about 9 or 10 years. And then we took it national in 1998, and then things really took off for me. And now on the television side, we're in 92% of the country, so 92% of every television in America can now see Today's Homeowner. And on our radio side, we've grown considerably there, and we're up to 365 stations, and basically the largest home improvement television show in America.
So for television, it's very obviously very different about radio, and not everybody can do both mediums and do them well.
Well, you know, it is kind of funny from that standpoint. The thing about it is this is what I do. This is what I do every single day and living and breathing it all of these years. So I'm not really putting on any type of show. Yes, I have to iron my shirt when I'm on television. I don't have to when I'm on radio. But other than that, there's a lot of things with radio is a little more challenging in using your words carefully to explain things, whereas when you're on television, you can say, just like you see here. So you have to kind of process that a little bit more when we're doing our radio show, Today's Homeowner. We want to make sure that the questions and the content that we put together, that it is something that's fairly easy to understand. There's some subjects that just really don't work on home improvement radio. And so you kind of steer clear of some of those and really get to the ones that you can explain and people can consume and understand. And you'd be amazed, Kyle, at how many questions that we get over and over again. That tells us that that's a common problem, a common interest area, and we dig into it a little bit deeper when we can.
What excites you the most about helping homeowners?
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, so many times I've heard the comment, wow, if I had known it was that easy, I would have done that a long time ago. And then to run into them, you know, a year or so later, or get a wonderful emails we get from so many people that we've worked with and said, hey, you empowered me. And that is something really cool. And my daughter, Chelsea, who's been with me for a number of years on the television show, she even empowers people even more because here she is, a 30-year-old female that is doing an amazing amount of work. And, of course, she and I have a great time working on projects together. But when you hear someone that you're empowering them, opening up their eyes to things that they can do around their home, keeping it very simple and very straightforward, telling them the things they should do, and also just as important, telling them things they need to avoid, that's pretty cool. That's a good thing in using this knowledge that I've gained over all of these years. And also knowing the things that are the misconceptions and steering people away from those so that they don't have so many bumps in the road and they're able to maintain their home, which is very, very important, but even more fun, improve their home and do some things that they've seen on TV, they've seen online, or they've seen at a friend's house, and then guide them down that path to be able to get those projects done. Man, that is a wonderful job.
I spend some time looking at the real estate websites here locally at local listings, and one of the things I've noticed over time is you'll see a house pop up, and you look at it, and you look at the interior, and you go, oh, that was built in 1990, and then sure enough, it was. It seems like we go through a lot of fads in construction and colors and things like that.
Yeah, that's almost inevitable, and I know just recently the color of the year was announced, and they, you know, make it a big deal, and it's just a slightly, you know, different version of a previous color of the year, and those kind of promotions and trends do guide a lot of people's decisions. You know, we can look back at some of the things. We were looking at a project that we're about to do on the television show with some of the turquoise tile in a bathroom.
Oh my.
Now, you know, first of all, Kyle, you go, what were they thinking back then? Because, of course, that was cutting edge, that was cool as can be, and that was the color of the year, I guess, back then. And now people are doing everything they can to get rid of some of those old retro colors, even though there's still a little sector there that, you know, loves the old lime greens and the avocados and that kind of thing. So, you know, you still have a little bit of that, a portion of homeowners that like like that. But more than anything, those trends are fueled by not only television shows and magazines and radio and so forth, but also it's just the growing difference. It's just like over the years, the open floor plan. You know, people wanted, even if they had a smaller home, make it feel a little larger. And then you start, and that's been a strong trend in a lot of the things where instead of the dark colors, the forest greens and the dark burgundies, now we're getting more into the light grays and certainly utilizing as much natural light as you can. And now we have LED lights that allow you to really tune in the exact type of color temperature that you want in a particular room. Okay, now I've just changed this dark den of the 70s that had all of this dark paneling and the shag carpet. Now look at it now. It's light gray. I've got these lights. I've got luxury vinyl tile on the floor. I just changed this entire thing and I did it myself. I think I'll stay here in this house for a while. So it's a strong emotional connection, and I think that will always be a part of it.
More when we come back. Danny Litford with us from Today's Homeowner, now heard Saturday morning 6 to 8 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1247 inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1. Today's Homeowner with Danny Litford, now on Saturday morning 6 to 8 on News Radio 1240 KQEN, who joins us now from Alabama, our second segment. So, Danny, I'm curious, with winter here, what's the type of thing that a lot of people are working on right now around the country?
Well, certainly you want to make sure that you're not wasting those energy dollars. And there's some simple things around the house. And sometimes when you think about what I always talk about, sealing the envelope of your home, you might think of caulking that little crack that you find around that hose bib, or, you know, taking care of that weather stripping that you might not even realize. You get down on the floor and look under that front door, and you may see some daylight going in there. You're wasting a lot of money. Now, how could that little crack cost you a lot of money? Well, you put them all together and you end up with a big crack. So taking care of all of your doors and windows and making sure they're in good shape, any kind of penetration that you have around your home, that it's not a real, let's say, sexy home improvement project, but it's certainly something that will save you money. Now, if you really want to be a little more ambitious about the best money you can possibly spend on your home, in terms of your return on your home improvement dollar, is attic insulation, because that'll help you every single day of the year. So making sure the insulation in your attic is at least 14 inches of insulation is extremely important, because that keeps that hot air from escaping and also keeps the hot air during the summertime from affecting your cooler air inside your home. Those are very important things. And we always like to point out the safety aspects as well, Kyle, because you want to make sure you have the carbon monoxide detector, make sure your smoke detector is in good shape and is nice and clean, batteries are charged up and so forth, and be careful on those fireplaces. You want to make sure that you have it inspected so that it's operating safely, as well as your furnace. You know, your furnace and your heating and cooling of your home represents 55% of your total utility bill, so it only makes sense that you want to make sure it's operating as efficiently as possible. It's well worth getting that professional out there to double check and make sure that it is working as it's intended.
It seems like the pandemic has led to a lot of people fixing things up because they were staying at home more, maybe even working from home. What are some of the trends you've seen in the past 20 months?
Well, I tell you what, you know, a lot of the trends that I'm seeing are very similar to what we saw before the pandemic. They just really got ramped up. Now, of course, the home offices and doing things to create a productive workspace inside your home is something that we're doing. I'll tell you, we did a television show recently that we called The Cloffice. So it was a very nice closet that we converted to an office, and still it was utilized partially as a closet, but it worked tremendously well to create that space out from the main part of the family life that the homeowner could go and engage in the Zoom calls and all of the work there. So that's certainly a strong trend. Another one that has been around for years, and the pandemic has fueled it even more, and that's the outdoor living spaces, because people just had an urge to get outside more and more. So developing those patios and then all of the amenities that go along with it, with the wireless speakers, the lighting, the water features, different elements, so that you end up spending more time outside than you did inside. We always like to say we've kind of blurred the line between inside living and outside living, and that's a good thing, because it's great to get outside anytime you can. And then when you're using that area, you're wanting to find ways to use it more. So now we have the fire tables and we have the fans and different ways so that you'll be able to utilize that outdoor space even more days per year.
And I've seen some even where you have outdoor kitchens that are almost as big as the one in the house.
Well, absolutely, the outdoor kitchen things. Now, especially the key thing there is it does need to be efficient, it does need to be safe, and it needs to be fairly close to the house. I see people that build gazebos out in their backyard, they build these elaborate kitchens, and then they don't think about, hey, the bathroom's way back up at the house, the beverages are way back up at the house, and it's just harder to utilize that. But if you have that outdoor kitchen fairly close to your main kitchen, you will use it a lot more. I'll be using mine this afternoon for that very reason, is because I can go right out and grill things so quickly and bring them right back into the kitchen.
As you have done a lot of remodeling, what is the craziest situation you've ever walked into where somebody wanted something changed and you looked around a house and said, what on earth was somebody thinking?
Well, so many times. Well, there's several different situations that come to mind when you ask that. I see some people that in my remodeling side of my business will build these fantastic, elaborate porches or elaborate game rooms on the back of their home. I mean, really nice and high end. But as I'm walking up to the house, there's holes in their soffit and fascia area. There's overgrown bushes. The driveway is cracked so bad they have trees growing out of it. And I'm thinking, well, maybe you should be a little more modest in that project and take care of what you already have a little bit. It always amazes me from that standpoint. And then other things that surprise me is where I've had some people, it seems like this happens on Monday mornings a lot, where they'll call and go, I really need you to come by my house. I'm thinking of removing a wall in my house. Well, what wall is it? Well, I actually have already started removing it, and I'm really concerned right now. So that's one thing you don't want to get. We love to inspire people with our television and our radio shows, but let's don't get too ambitious where you grab the sledgehammer without thinking about it.
What about the housing inventory shortage? I mean, that's a big deal in our area, and it seems like it is in a lot of areas in the country.
Well, it is certainly driving those prices up and putting people in situations where you have bidding wars on houses, and all of that's unfortunate. And right along with that is the challenge on the supply and demand. There are so many projects that are just sitting there waiting to be done simply because they can't get the doors and windows in time. And we got really, really spoiled where, you know, everything was almost instantaneous. I mean, you could place an order for windows. 10 days later, you had all your windows sitting there, or less, because they had them in stock. Nowadays, that same order may take 6 months. And really, you can't even be, you know, you can't really plan everything that is going to be there in 6 months. And it really has distorted a lot of things and slowed things down a little bit. Hopefully, this will be remedied very, very soon, as well as the skilled labor issue. There's so much pressure on people to go to college, which is important for those that should go to college. But there's some people out there that just need to adopt the blue-collar side of life and make just as much money if you spent 4 years in college. It really is something that has to turn around quickly, or it won't turn around quickly, but needs to, so that we can recover on all of this aspect. But I'm always an optimist, and I feel like we've already hit the bottom on the housing shortage and on the material supply. I think we're on our way back right now.
About 20 seconds left. What would you do to, or what would you say to encourage somebody to listen in tomorrow morning?
Well, I tell you what, we have fun. And my co-host Joe Truini and I have a lot of experience. We're going to shoot you straight just like we do at our own house. And we have a fairly fast-paced program. So if you have a question or hear something that maybe doesn't quite fit what you're looking for, just hang on just a second, because we cover a lot of ground during the show, and I really appreciate being on at KQEN there. We really appreciate it, and hope everybody will contact us and see if we can help them out with anything they have going on around their house.
Danny Lipford, today's homeowner, tomorrow morning, 6 to 8 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Danny, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle. You take care and have a great weekend.
1258 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.